Continuing through Psalms, this week we're going to look at Psalms 127, 128. And it's from this section of Psalms that are called the Psalms of Ascent. And by ascent, what it's talking about is going up to Zion for worship. And so it's songs to be sung to people or by people that are coming into the worship of the Lord. And I've titled this particular sermon, Worship in All of Life, because these two psalms in particular have this overlapping set of themes, and they connect with our daily lives and the greater plan for God's kingdom. And that ties all back to worship. So in the context of a psalm of ascent, they're reminding the people of how their lives are tied to the provision of the Lord and the intent for God's kingdom as they're coming into worship. So let's read these two psalms now together, Psalms 127 and 128. Psalm 127, a song of ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It's in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. And then Psalm 128, a song of ascents. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. So, in these two psalms, first there's this theme of building, including the physical building, and as well as a dynasty, a house. And there's another theme of provision and security, peace. And then there's yet another theme of family, a heritage, a future. And Psalm 128 sums all these up as blessings from the Lord, and we'll see how these themes are addressed in each of the psalms. And so we'll cover them in order. Psalm 127, discussing the Lord's provision and the Lord's weapons. And then Psalm 128, discussing the Lord's people and the Lord's blessing to his people. So let's start off with 127. The title of the psalm is A Psalm of Ascents of Solomon. So first, Psalm 127 is a psalm of ascents, but it's also attributed specifically to Solomon. And the connection to Solomon is intriguing. There is a thematic similarity here to something like Ecclesiastes. For example, building in vain and the vanity of anxious toil. Now, there is a different word used here than is used in Ecclesiastes, but the point and the idea remains the same. And Psalm 127 and Ecclesiastes and Proverbs share themes of good things that come from the Lord, hard work without the excess of toil on the one side or slothfulness on the other. And it makes sense that this is indeed from Solomon. But there's something more going on here. So let's look at verses 1 and 2. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It's in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. So, think back to 2 Samuel 7, where David promised to build a house for the Lord. And God replied back to David that he would not build the house, but through the prophet Nathan, God makes a promise to David. So in 2 Samuel 7, starting in verse 4, but that same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. So many of us look at these Psalms and go straight to the second half that talk about the family and children. But there is an immediate application here to David and his dynasty in the security of Jerusalem. Solomon was the one who would build the temple with materials that David had prepared. And here in Samuel is this promise to David that David's own house, that his dynasty would be established by the Lord. And so the Lord is the one who builds the house. The Lord is the one who protects Jerusalem. And so Solomon was giving praise to God that the Lord did indeed build the house. It was not David. Some would credit Solomon, but Solomon credits the Lord. He established his worship in Jerusalem, and he established David's kingdom and his descendants. And so this psalm works on multiple levels. First, it's to be sung when heading to the temple, the Lord's house. It's a psalm of ascents. The second, it's closely connected to this Davidic covenant, the promise that God, in fulfilling his plan through David's descendants, which ultimately is fulfilled in Christ. And third, there's this application to us individually as we are participants in God's plan. Right? The king's dynasty and the temple are not established without the Lord. The city of Jerusalem will not be protected without the Lord. And our toil individually is worthless without the Lord. And so all these things are empty. They lack lasting value. And they're not preserved without the work of the Lord. And so here is a very early application for us before we even get all the way through the psalm, but to find rest in the Lord. Right? It's vanity to seek these things if we do not find rest in the Lord. So think of your own work and your own labor and our attitudes towards our work. They can vary drastically even as we do the same task, right? The way we approach a task. You can work hard and find worth in serving in your daily work, or you can rise early, work late, worried about the result, anxious about the future, even as you work long and hard. And we're called to work hard, but without the fear that we'll go without. And so eating the fruit of your toil with anxiety is empty. Instead, take joy in the Lord's provision. So an opposite error would be to be slothful in your work. In a quick read of Ecclesiastes or Proverbs or even a quick look over at Psalm 128 teaches us to value hard work. But that work is to be done resting in the provision that the Lord supplies. So he gives to his beloved sleep. And here, the love of God for his people is seen, and in the midst of his love and protection, they find rest. They find sleep. So they work hard, but they trust the Lord with the results. So Christ tells us in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Right, Jesus fulfills the promises made to David. Right, he establishes a greater house, a house for the worship of the Lord, even to the rest and peace and joy of our souls. And so for those who struggle to sleep, this is not a berating of you for the medical reasons why people may have insomnia. There's plenty of reasons why people struggle with sleep. And rather, this is an admonition to approach our work and life trusting in the Lord's provision. But we need to keep in mind that Psalm 127 is focused on, you know, God's provision for worship and provision for the kingdom and for those who are part of the kingdom, and that all these are tied together. So all of this has a broader application to Israel and God's kingdom plan. Think of of the progression of topics that we've seen here. You know, David and the desire to build the temple, Solomon building the temple, the Psalm of Ascents approaching the temple. And then we move from there to the protection of the city. And remember, these folks were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, right? That was part of the promise that we found in 2 Samuel 7, the promise to David. And that covenant with David is one step pointing to the fulfilling of God's kingdom plan. And so the testimony of the new covenant promise and the witness of the New Testament all tell us that believers have the joy of participating in God's kingdom through Christ's work. And we in the church also enjoy blessings through Christ's work. So this is not just about guidance for having a good life, right? It's about, above all, how all these things tie together, right? God establishes his worship among a community of people, and God's people, even their individual lives and their families, it all intersects with the purpose for God's kingdom. And in all these things, we rest in the Lord to establish them. And so the key principle behind this whole section is God is the one who brings increase. Right, that's the broader point of Psalm 127. Rather than toiling night and day to amass security for ourselves, instead we put a hard day's work in and we trust the Lord to provide. We avoid the extremes of sloth and toil. And we do faithful work and we rest in the Lord. And so if we try by force to bring about a desired outcome, then we're not leaving the increase to the Lord. And Psalm 127 in particular highlights the Lord's provision. He is the one who establishes his kingdom. He is the one who establishes his worship. And as we look at our own lives, we should acknowledge that unless the Lord provides, it's vanity and will not last. And so the psalm goes on to highlight family as an example of increase. Verse 3, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." So God's promises are often given with descendants in mind. The promises to Abraham were given to him and to his descendants. The promise to David would be accomplished through his descendant. And here in Psalm 127, it presents the descendants as a gift. Children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. So children are not an achievement to unlock. They're not a way for you to achieve your dreams, but they are a lasting inheritance. And so before we go further, let me say something about how we use wisdom literature in general. Right, this section is a verse that folks will turn to in order to stress the value of children and families. And sometimes that's presented as a formula. If you do this, then you'll be successful. Wisdom, by its nature, is pointing to virtue, what is good. And what do I mean when I use the word virtue? I mean to seek to honor the Lord from the heart. To do what the Lord would see as good. To be the kind of person who honors the Lord. And so you've heard us speak before about imaging God well. To live in a way that embodies what is good in the eyes of God. You know, he created us in his image, and we bear that image in our person and through our actions, and that is virtuous. But and Psalm 128 will connect with this idea of walking with the Lord, right? The one who walks with the Lord, at least in part, is fulfilling this mandate to image God well. And so wisdom literature is pointing us in that direction, toward living as God created us to be. But many times, the right course of action is not so clear, right? It's situational. And you can look at Proverbs where you can find Proverbs that are addressing the same topic, but depending on the situation, maybe the right answer is different. So for example, answer a fool according to his folly. You find different Proverbs. It could either go well or it could not go well, depending on the situation. And determining what situation it is a point of wisdom. We misapply wisdom literature when we misconstrue it as an if-then. Right? If we apply this logic, if you do this, then you will be successful. So putting aside wisdom for a rule of law, right, we're neglecting the situational aspects. And instead, we're taking this absolutist position. So, but that's not what we want to do. Instead, we should read the text according to the kind of literature that it is. So don't take wisdom literature as a promise that's true 100% of the time. Rather, consider it a good direction to go. It points you to what is pleasing to the Lord. And so follow the Lord with your life. Be faithful. That's all the Lord asks of us. Right? Let's use wisdom literature wisely. So this psalm is set in the context of carrying out the Lord's plan by the provision that the Lord supplies. And he has chosen to carry his message using people, and your descendants have a part to play in that. Children are a blessing. So this section is full of honor language. And the man who has many, it says, will be blessed. He will not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. The city gates were a place of business, kind of like a courthouse. So the people would come together for public business. The elders of the city would be there to witness transactions. So not to be put to shame when speaking with enemies in the gate says something about this family and their standing in the community. Faithful children image the Lord well. But the imagery here is specifically that of weapons, arrows. So this man's weapons in life are his children. The honor of the family is validated by the character of its members. And so children are to be instructed in the ways of the Lord. And as they show their devotion to the Lord, it's a blessing to the parents. But let's think about arrows. They're range weapons. You send them far out. The building of the house is the building of a family. And they're a means of protecting the city. So they're a means of fulfilling the Lord's plans. Children who image the Lord well are a blessing because they're part of building the kingdom, and because they have a role to play in protecting and ensuring what is built. So throughout Scripture, we see a call to image God well. In the Sermon on the Mount, there's a call to be a renewed people for a renewed kingdom. In Proverbs, we see this admonition for children to listen to the instruction of their fathers. And we're called to raise children who will walk with the Lord just as we were taught. And as much as these children are members of our own household, they're part of God's bigger kingdom plan. God's people are a living temple. And so there's more connection in building the house of the Lord, protection of the city, and raising a godly family than we might at first think. Building the Lord's house and the expansion of his kingdom are accomplished through his chosen means. And the spread of the gospel, God chooses to use people. And that may be people you interact with, but it may be your children as well. And so, contrary to our culture today, children are not a burden. Instead, they're a guarantee of the future. Right? The psalm sees the family as wealth. And so when we think of wealth, we often think of material objects. But here, wealth is measured in a family devoted to the Lord. And what a sweet blessing it is from the Lord to have that, to have a family that serves the Lord. It's not just the wealthy that get to enjoy that. Right? So great wealth can be had by those who are not materially wealthy. It's something that can be given across socioeconomic and cultural lines. Children who serve the Lord are wealth immeasurable. And so the family has fallen on hard times in our culture. Right? Some don't want to bring children into this world the way it is. Others don't want to bear the cost of children, but the Lord paints a different picture. Children are immeasurable wealth, and they are chosen weapons to advance his kingdom. So to be clear, I'm not talking about singleness or barrenness. That's another topic. And they have their own place and challenges. But what I am trying to address is seeing family as an evil versus a blessing. And so the fruit of the womb is a reward. So how can we apply this? Invest in your kids. Teach them to follow the Lord. This takes time. It takes consistency. Demonstrate a spiritual life for your children. Talk about the Lord as you take trips together. Be honest about your own struggles and growth. Teach them that both parents and children are accountable to God. Be patient. When discipline is required, make it restorative and gospel-centered. And as a warning, don't make the mistake of putting on a facade of godliness. Instead, be genuine. Right? Don't pretend by putting on a good show, but in private, being forceful and lacking genuine spiritual life. If that's you, what do you think it will teach your children? I've seen families whose spiritual life was more about performance and show than heart. And their children, some find genuine faith, and then others reject, leaving bitter. And still others mimic an external faith, but have a rot in their heart. So surely we must be faithful as parents, but there's a world of difference between coercive parenting and trusting the Lord to build a house. So, if you don't have your own children, you can still be a part of God's greater kingdom plan. Realize that all of this, a house, a city, a family, it's all part of this expansion of God's kingdom. It's a kingdom people. And so, the city, those without children who are single, they have a place in God's kingdom plan. They also can have a place in training children to know the Lord. And we need to recognize that a call to evangelism is much broader than just our children. That's clear in Scripture, but God has chosen to use His church to carry the message of the gospel, and one particular situation for carrying that message may be your own family, and that does place a responsibility upon each of us. And so Psalm 127 was sung when entering into worship, and in that context, we see God giving a place, building a house, giving security, protection, and giving a future through family. And we can work trusting God with the results. We can rest trusting God. We can invest in the future trusting God. Now, Psalm 128 has similar themes, but it comes from a different perspective. So, the Lord's people, Psalm 128, verses 1 and 2. A song of ascents. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. So here, blessing is offered to those who fear the Lord and walk in His ways. They represent related things, fearing the Lord and walking in His ways. So the word blessed here, at a base level, it can mean joy and happiness, but blessing is also to experience abundance, fullness, prosperity. But in the context, there's this connotation of completeness and trusting the Lord, right? It shall be well with you. So to fear the Lord is to know the holiness of the Lord, the perfection of His attributes, His sovereignty, and our fallen state. It's to recognize the Lord as God and the ramifications of that in our lives. It also means that this person is connected with honoring God above the distractions and anxieties of everyday life. So some describe the fear of the Lord as reverence in light of our standing before our Creator, and the natural response to that would be to seek to obey the Lord in our lives. So therefore, knowing what is good and right in the eyes of the Lord, we seek to walk in His ways. So here, obedience is described not in terms of adherence to particular commands, but in terms of living life in light of what we know about God and in relationship to Him. So we see God's greatness and we seek to follow. Or as the passage says, we fear the Lord and we walk in His ways. So the author of the psalm then turns to blessing in the context of our daily lives, where Psalm 127 discusses anxious toil, but here the labor of your hands is enjoyed. So the labor is offered by somebody who fears the Lord and walks in His ways. And because of that, the servant of the Lord doesn't need to fear, but can instead enjoy what the Lord has provided as a blessing. In Psalm 1, which we looked at a few weeks back, it gives us a contrast between the person who walks with the Lord and the one who seeks his own way. And we see that elsewhere in Scripture. when every man did what seemed right in his own eyes and judges, or each has turned to his own way in Isaiah 53. And by contrast, the way that leads to life is found in dependence upon the Lord. And so the one who walks with the Lord is able to live life enjoying the fruit of their labor. And the implication is that they eat the fruit of their labors, knowing the love and comfort that comes from the Lord. So see the contrast with the person from Psalm 127, who ate their food with anxious toil. But for the person who trusts in the Lord, it is well with them. They experience well-being. And so the joy of contentment is found in dependence upon the Lord. That's a stark contrast from anxious toil. It's expressed in security and joy and gratitude. So where do you go for happiness in this world? If you look at all the diversions and addictions that people are drawn to, there you will find the search for happiness. But Psalm 128 points us to the fear of the Lord and walking in His ways. The blessing we receive from the Lord is not about prosperity as we think of it in a modern sense. It's about the wholeness and completeness that is experienced when one's life is oriented towards the Lord and walking in His ways. And so, for each of us, we should fear the Lord. Live knowing God as Creator, learn reverence for the Lord, and then live that out in our lives. And we should walk in His ways. Right? Live according to what is right in the eyes of God. Enjoy the fruit of your labor as you go. And so now let's look at the blessings associated with the one who trusts in the Lord. Starting in verse 3, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. So similar to Psalm 127, we again see family addressed. So this increase comes not just in terms of materials, but in terms of the strength of the family, the quality of the time that you have with them. And you might say the fruit is within your household. The children are like olive shoots. They're young vines growing to be nurtured and are a promise of the future. And this takes place around your table. Again, that points to fruit being in the home. And the table is a place to nurture children. If you're going to raise up weapons of war, found in Psalm 127, that work is accomplished around the table of Psalm 128. So teach your children. As they sit around the table, teach them the fear of the Lord and to walk in His ways. Talk with them about the Lord. What's the center of your conversations that you have with them? Family devotions do not have to be formal. They can be organic and woven into everyday life. In fact, if you want your kids to see the relevance of walking with God in your life and theirs, then that needs to be organic, life on life, together. You can make this a part of your walk together or a part of your discussions as you drive down the road. But be intentional. Use the time wisely. Make it organic. In verse 4, the author restates that this blessing is to those who fear the Lord. And then in verses 5 and 6, there's a benediction. It's given to those ascending to the temple. And the application of the psalm is broadened beyond the context of the home. It's a priestly prayer. It's a blessing for prosperity for the nation, the city, and the family. And so, may the Lord bless you from Zion. The blessing comes from Zion. Last week, from Psalm 110, I mentioned how central Jerusalem is to God's kingdom plan. Redemption is accomplished in Jerusalem. Christ knew that He must go to Jerusalem to accomplish redemption for His people. The Gospels point to Jerusalem as the place of redemption. And also, these promised blessings are inextricably tied to the advancement of God's kingdom plan. May you see your children's children. So that's a mark of security and long life. It speaks to the welfare of the city. A city at peace will have citizens who see their children's children. But God's kingdom is not locked into a specific city or geography. Peace be upon Israel is thought to be referenced in Galatians 6:16, where it's addressing, depending on your view, either the church or at least believing Jews. And the application being that God's kingdom plan, as characterized in the promises made to David, and those promises pointing to Christ, but they're not systematic ideals. Rather, they're applied in our own personal lives. So, they're being fulfilled even now. His people should be united in a common worship founded upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. The kingdom plan extends to our lives, and the worship of God extends to our lives, our communities, and our families. So let's pray with intentionality. Can you pray for your children? Not just that they would know the Lord, but pray for their future, that they too would teach their children to fear the Lord. Pray that they would walk with the Lord all the days of their life, that they would learn to trust Him. Have you ever prayed for your children that way? Pray for them with a gospel-centered intentionality for their future. And pray for the prosperity and advancement of God's kingdom. So pray for God's people, for their future, that they would walk with the Lord and trust Him, and God's kingdom would advance, and pray that others would come to worship the Lord. So we see this overlap in themes between Psalm 127 and 128, the building of the kingdom, the provision of security for God's people, and also for the family. God builds a house, right? A house of worship, but also David's house, a dynasty, which ultimately leads to redemption in Christ. God gives security, He gives peace. People can enjoy the fruit of their labor. God establishes the future. He has a kingdom plan, and He also provides for the family. And so we see how God's plans and God's provision for His people works on multiple levels. Psalm 127 is focused more on the Lord providing those things. And Psalm 128 focuses on those things being provided to those who fear the Lord and walk in His ways. So taken together, they give us a picture from two different angles, but they both show the joy and blessing of worshiping the Lord in all of life. And so as we reflect in worship, let's consider how God's kingdom is advancing in our work, in our families, in our cities, within Christ's church. And if you've not trusted the Lord in your own life, then I challenge you this morning, be willing to submit to His kingdom and walk in His ways. And let's live in light of the message of both of these psalms, right? The Lord provides increase, and we are to fear the Lord and walk in His ways. And taken together, they help us to see God's provision and how we worship God in our lives. All right, so let's pray. Father, thank You for how You provide for Your people. And so, Lord, I pray that You would provide for this church. Pray that You would help us to trust You even when it's difficult. Pray that You would help us to rest knowing that You will provide. Help us to know that You are good and that You establish a house and that You provide redemption and that You have established a future where You will make all things right. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.